Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Today is September 24th, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. So quite the eventful day that we experienced here on September 24th. Market down. This is going to be a historic day. And it's going to be something that leads to perhaps the impeachment trial of President Donald J. Trump, or it will be one of the biggest political fiascos ever for the Democratic Party. Maybe a little bit of both. Time will tell, but mark it on your calendar. This is a historic day. I was anticipating we were just going to do our regular rundown of the markets. A little bit of data came out regarding home prices, regarding the consumer sentiment, which is what this economy is clinging to. This quote-unquote strong consumer is the last pillar of hope in the U.S. economy, and that is starting to dwindle. I was thinking that we were going to focus on the president's speech today before the UN General Assembly, but we are going to talk about those things, but we also have to now cover what Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, came out and said today, that she is allowing for a formal impeachment inquiry to take place. Now, this doesn't really deviate from what has already been taking place within the Democrat Party, especially with the various leadership positions that they now have, since they are the leading party in the House of Representatives. You have the various chairmanships. You have Congressman Nadler. You have Congressman Cummings. You have Congressman Schiff, Maxine Waters. Impeach 45. Impeach 45. She's back at it. She never went away. Now it looks like these people are getting their opportunity to go after Donald Trump once again in a more formal way, now that the Speaker of the House has said so. Now, this still isn't a full-blown impeachment. This is just the inquiry. Again, they were already doing this. They've been doing this. This is just a political statement from Nancy Pelosi. Now, a lot of this is now driven by the whistleblower report that is out there floating in the wind, that nobody knows what's actually in it. So again, I caution, be careful who you're listening to on this. And we stated this from the get-go. This is why I don't focus on this stuff. Nobody knows what's in this report. Nobody knows who the whistleblower is. Nobody knows all of the details except, of course, the whistleblower and maybe some people within the IG's office and that individual's attorney. All we know from what we've been told in the media is that the IG says this is urgent and it's credible. So that's what we're going here, okay? And again, this is Donald Trump and his conversation with the Ukrainian president talking about Joe Biden, Joe Biden's son, and some business ventures that were taking place there. And again, we have Joe Biden on tape with the Council on Foreign Relations some while ago, claiming that, hey, when I was in office, when I was the vice president, I called them up and I said, hey, listen, you got to fire this prosecutor looking into this business that, of course, was involved with his son, or his son was involved with this Ukrainian company. He was basically boasting and bragging about it. We're going to withhold things unless you fire this prosecutor. Well, they did fire the prosecutor. Now, where's the media on this? Again, you're going to get siloed in. If you are of Fox News, that's what you're hearing. Donald Trump's innocent, Joe Biden's the guilty one. If you got CNN on, if you got MSNBC on, Joe Biden's innocent, Donald Trump's the guilty one. Divide and conquer, folks. That's why I don't get involved with this mess, because I don't care who's reporting. I don't care if it's the New York Times, the Washington Post. This time, it's the Wall Street Journal. I don't trust any of them. And that's a sad day when you make that comment, because we don't know the details. And everybody's coming out and saying, well, somebody's leaking. This isn't actually a whistleblower. No. This is a whistleblower. This individual went through the proper channels. They didn't go screaming to the Wall Street Journal or to the New York Times. They went through the proper channels. This is all politics right now, and this is why I didn't get involved with this, because nobody knows the truth here, and we got to wait to see if and when that finally comes out, and then we can make a judgment as to what's going on. Will the Democrats make this a more formal process? Will they actually take it to a vote on the House floor to say, okay, now we're going to be moving forward with articles of impeachment? That's the real killer right there, the articles of impeachment. Now, of course, the process would be such where it then has to go to the Senate for conviction. Now, that's going to be a little bit of a pickle unless the evidence is so damning that the Republican Party would have to throw their hands up and say, well, the evidence is so clear. There's no question about it that the president violated the Constitution. He committed some sort of crime. We have to convict him and we have to impeach him and he has to be removed from office. That's going to be a big one. That's going to be a big hurdle to overcome because, of course, the Republicans are the leading party in the Senate. So there's a lot of moving parts. This is going to continue to be divisive. It's somewhat to Nancy Pelosi's credit, she said this was a sad day. It is a sad day. It is a sad day that this country is so divided. It is a sad day that we have to go down one rabbit hole after the other. It is a sad day that we have a two-tier justice system. It is a sad day that everybody is siloed in. If it's your guy, he's scot-free. If it's the other guy, lock him up. This is not the way that this republic is supposed to be operating. We are on very thin ice here, believe me when I tell you. And what happened today is not going to make it any better. Furthermore, we have Donald Trump saying that he is going to release the transcript of this phone call that took place between Donald Trump and the president of Ukraine. And allegedly, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was on the phone with his Ukrainian counterparts asking for permission or just making sure that it was okay to release those transcripts to make sure everything's okay. They said, sure, that we have nothing to hide here either. We don't know what the big hubbub is. So something is going to be released. Now, the question is, what is a transcript in the mind of Donald Trump? And that's a serious question, folks, because when I hear the word transcript, I think back to a few months ago when I took the time on several podcasts to read to you guys the transcripts, the testimony of Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, the former attorneys and agents within the FBI who were centered and focused around the Clinton email scandal and the Russia-Trump collusion conspiracy story. Remember that? So when I hear the word transcript, I'm expecting to see a piece of paper, okay, and it's going to have names on it. Let's say it has President of the United States, and then you're going to see some words. President of the United States, colon. Good morning, Mr. President. How are you doing today? Next line down, President of Ukraine, colon. Very well, sir. How about yourself? And continuing and continuing. That's a transcript to me. Now, this is supposed to be unredacted. What's a transcript in Donald Trump's mind? Is that a transcript or is it a summary? Well, we talked about this. We talked about that. I have no idea. But the interesting thing is, why would Donald Trump release anything unless he knew or he was innocent, that he didn't do anything? So this could be big pie in the face for the Democrats. Why they didn't wait an extra day, I have no idea, or Donald Trump was simply waiting for them to do this so he could then come out and say, yeah, I'll release it. So this could truly backfire very quickly on the Democrats. And you had Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York coming out and saying, well, we don't even care about this transcript because there's so much more that's waiting in the wings. There's so much more that this president has done. We don't have the full facts with the IG report, with the whistleblower complaint. So there's a lot of things still hanging out there. He can release whatever he wants. We're not clinging to it. So they're already preparing themselves. This is what they do. This is all politics. I mean, Nancy Pelosi's been around for a while. Chuck Schumer's been around for a while. These people know how to maneuver. They do. They didn't get to those positions of power without knowing how to be some smooth operators here or there, whether or not you like them, because that's true on the Republican side, too. The people who are at the higher echelons of the power structure, they're smooth operators in one form or another. That's how they got there. Whether you agree with them philosophically or not makes no difference. They're there. That's who we have to deal with. So that's the impeachment inquiry. It's a bunch of unknowns. I wish I could give you some concrete facts, but we don't have them. And guess what? Neither does CNN. Neither does MSNBC. Neither does Fox News. They don't. It's all speculation. Why they can't come out and tell you that they don't know anything is beyond me. Everybody wants to cling to these reports that this is on the record. No, it isn't. We were told this for the past 2 years, one news story after the other. Simply because the media comes out and prints a story does not make it fact. And that's, again, an unfortunate reality in the world we live. We don't know where this information is coming from. So take a deep breath. Let's hope, and this is a big hope, that the process works the way that it's supposed to work, that the IG can do their job, that this whistleblower can come forward before Congress, and that the truth can be made known, that this is a true transcript that is going to be released by the president and his White House. And I hope there's nothing wrong here. I really hope there's nothing wrong. If Joe Biden thinks he can do it and get away with it, now you have Donald Trump thinking he can do it and get away with it. If they're both guilty, lock them both up. I don't care. There's not supposed to be a two-tier justice system. I don't care if I voted for somebody or didn't vote for somebody. because if we look the other way on this, then nobody's better than anybody else, and we're not going to make any progress. So get out of your silo. This is divide and conquer tactics, almost at its finest. And, you know, if something does happen here with this president, it's going to get ugly, because this president's base is wound up and ready to go. The president baits him. He's got those keywords that get these people going. They love him, and that's fine. People loved Obama. People love Bush. People love Clinton. That's how it is. I understand this. I understand this. But this could get very nasty very quickly, because Donald Trump is not one to calm things down. He isn't. He does not have a calming presence about him. He has a chaotic presence about him. That's what he likes to do. He admits this. He likes to stir the pot. This is what he does. This is his nature. And if you haven't picked up on this, I don't know what you're paying attention to. This is what the guy likes. He likes the chaos. It's exciting to him. He is not going to come out and say, remain calm. It's not in his vocabulary. He gets his group wound up. So we got to be very careful here, politically speaking, socially speaking, everything, because this thing could turn violent quickly. Quickly. Now, this throws a big monkey wrench in a whole bunch of other things, too, because what does this mean for Donald Trump? Because, interestingly, I happen to believe that this gives the president now a lot of wiggle room. This is sort of a gift to him, and he's sort of already taken the ball in saying that it is. Because, again, this is going to solidify his base. This is going to probably get even a lot of independents to say, you know what, with 2 years, the Mueller investigation, there's nothing here. It's egg on their face for the Democrats. What a disappointment. But clearly nothing happened, or nothing is going to happen. And now they're going to continue with this. We have infrastructure crumbling. We have national security issues. And this is what they have to focus on, continuing to try to get this guy. Now, from the Democratic standpoint, there's a lot of people on that side who love this. This is what we've been waiting for since November of 2016. This is what we've been waiting for. So they're finally getting it a little bit. They're getting a little slice of their heaven right now. Is it going to result in actually making it to heaven? We'll see for them. We'll see, but it's not going to be good. Believe me, like Nancy Pelosi said, this is not a good day in the history of this country. But she thinks she's doing the right thing. The Democrats think they're doing the right thing. They have the power of the House. This is the road that they're going to continue to take us on. I think this is more or less going to backfire on them politically, but that's what they're doing. They think the calculus is in their favor. Donald Trump, on the other hand, he thinks this is a strength for him, and I happen to agree. Because now, and as I have been saying for months, ever since his State of the Union address, which took place in February of this year, which was the same time this podcast started, and usually the State of the Union address takes place in January, maybe the first week of February if it's running late. But recall, we had the government shut down, and they didn't think it appropriate to do a State of the Union address when the government was shut down, blah, 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 blah. And so later in February, he gave the State of the Union address, and we talked about this for a while. And every once in a while, I bring it up because I thought it was important when the president said this. Because from the get-go, I said, this guy does not take responsibility for anything negative. If it's good, he's going to pat himself on the back all day until the cows come home. But if it's negative news, it's somebody else's fault. And in that State of the Union, he said, we have the strongest economy ever. The stock market is making record highs. Everything is fine. Don't worry about a thing. However, we do have to worry. This economic miracle can collapse. It can turn south if these endless wars continue, if the partisan politics continues, and if endless investigations continue. Well, check all three of those boxes. And the president has not ended these wars, so he's still somewhat responsible for that because he's the commander-in-chief. But nevertheless, they continue. He could blame the military-industrial complex. He can start to blame the swamp. Partisan politics. He's the other side of that coin, but it continues. And now you have endless investigations, which now it's really starting to heat up because the word impeachment is getting thrown around once again, and this time from the Speaker of the House, who I think, to her credit, for months now has shied away from it, saying, nah, this isn't the best move. But clearly whatever she has heard from her leadership, whatever she has heard in regards to the IG and this whistleblower, she is now concerned and thinks it's fine now to open a formal impeachment inquiry. But now Donald Trump has all of his dominoes set up. He has the endless wars check. He has the divisive politics continuing. Check. He has the endless investigations. Check. He has the Federal Reserve. Check. He has China. Check. He can blame everybody under the sun because he has it on the record. Look, folks, I've been telling you, the Federal Reserve has no feel. They don't know what they're doing. Jay Powell's an idiot, despite the fact that I hired him. He's dumb. He's no good. He's a terrible communicator. I told him to cut interest rates to zero. They don't listen to Trump, and now the market's going to collapse. Who knows if that's going to happen, but if it does, he has the cover to blame him. If you listened to Donald Trump's speech today before the UN General Assembly, it was somewhat eventful, but it was rather monotone. I didn't think it was anything spectacular. It wasn't much anything to be awe-inspiring by any sense of the imagination. And I do give the president some credit sometimes because on a few speeches, he has proven to be somewhat inspiring. And I said, that's a pretty good speech. That's presidential. That's what I was expecting from this guy. I thought all the showmanship, all of the tweets, all of the exaggerations was just a stunt. It was going to be put to the wayside. Once he sat in that office behind the Resolute desk, the weight and the gravity of that office was going to weigh on this man, and he was going to put aside that showmanship. Well, I was wrong. He is not. He continues to take to Twitter. I feel compelled to respond to him because of this. I sent him letters. The question of the credibility of the office, it's a disgrace. That's what it is. It's a disgrace, but this is who he is, and this is how he's operating. I don't like it, but that's what he's doing. So, where does this leave us? Interestingly, in that speech at the UN, what was eventful, in my opinion, was his attacks on China. He was rather forceful about this, too. This was not warm and fuzzy. This was not beautiful letters. This was not a lovey-dovey relationship with President Xi. This was, you guys got a problem. I'm not going to sign a bad deal, which we know this. The president never said he was going to sign a bad deal. Now we have, well, the president, I'm not going to sign a partial deal. I want a complete and true deal. Because one of the other things that he mentioned in this speech was a difference between nationalism and globalism in saying that globalists will lose. Patriots will win. And he is making nationalists synonymous with patriots. So if you're somebody who is of the mindset of Steve Bannon, a former advisor and strategist of the president, this is red meat to those people. They absolutely love that. This is nationalism versus globalism. The president is being strict, straightforward, and firm on this message. He's equating nationalism with patriotism. Okay, that's his argument. And he is calling out the Chinese saying, look, they're hiding behind the rules of the WTO, that they're still classifying themselves and characterizing themselves as a developing country, which gives them some protections to allow them to put on extra protections against some trade barriers so they can put up trade barriers. They can subsidize their industries a little bit more heavily because they are under the quote-unquote protection of that designation of a developed or a developing country. So President Trump is saying, no, enough of this. You're the second largest economy in the world. That's got to go. We were told when you entered the WTO, you were going to play by the rules. You haven't. You're not. And it doesn't appear that you're going to be. You've stolen our intellectual property. He gave an example of Micron Technologies, which is a large semiconductor company in the United States, claiming that China stole their intellectual property and then would not allow Micron Technologies to operate in China because the Chinese gave another Chinese company the patents. They said, well, no, you're going to be infringing on this Chinese on these Chinese companies if Micron comes in. So that's no bueno. You can't do business here. So there was there were no olive branches in this speech from Donald Trump to China. And we're supposed to have high-level talks taking place in a couple weeks in October with the Chinese trade delegation coming back to Washington, D.C. for further talks. Will they do that? It's an interesting question on two fronts. Would they have come given Donald Trump's speech? Are they going to think about this for a little bit? Are they still going to come over? Are they going to try to play rope-a-dope? Or is Donald Trump done? Is he done? Is he now going to dig his feet in and say, I don't need a deal, which he's already said. It needs to be a good deal, and it needs to be better for the United States than for China. So why would China come to the table? He's also said he doesn't need a deal before 2020, the presidential election, I should say. So now he's coming out explicitly saying, I don't even need a deal before the election in 2020. Don't need it. Don't need it. Now add to the mix a formal impeachment inquiry. Now what are the Chinese going to do? Well, this guy might not even make it to 2020. He might not even make it. So what do we got to even make a deal with him for? Even for looks? What's that going to give us? Absolutely nothing. He might not be there. Is he going to honor it? Maybe the Democrats are going to pull this off finally. So maybe they're going to walk away from the table too. So guess who Donald Trump gets to blame for that? The Democrats. The Democrats. Because all he has to do is come out and say, look, I was continuing with these negotiations. We just had them come over here at low-level talks, setting up for higher-level talks. But in the midst of all of this, you guys opened a formal impeachment inquiry against me, and now the Chinese don't know what to do. He has got everybody under the sun that he can blame. The Democrats are beyond stupid. Beyond stupid. But that's what they're doing. It is going to continue to divide the country because this is what the president does. Nobody has a bigger bully pulpit, a bigger microphone than Donald Trump. And we have never, never had a president who knows how to use the microphone like Donald J. Trump. Whether you love him or hate him or somewhere in between, this guy knows how to use it. He knows how to play the media. And he will. And this will resonate. This is going to be such a nasty presidential election, it's not even going to be funny. But that's where we are. We have no idea what's going to take place with these U.S.-China trade talks as they stood by themselves. Now with this impeachment inquiry, that's another fourth or fifth ball that's up in the air that we got to juggle around. We have no idea what's going to happen. So very interesting stuff, but that's where I'm going to leave that because there's just not a lot of facts other than the story of what transpired today to talk about. So we're just going to have to let this thing play out and see what happens. The markets clearly did not like this. They did not like the impeachment aspect. They did not like Donald Trump's speech because there were no olive branches to the Chinese. It really seemed like this guy's digging in. Where's the progress here that we've constantly heard about? So they didn't like that. The market sold off. We had consumer confidence numbers come out. We had the consumer confidence now at 125.1. 125.1, that is the reading that came out today, from 134.2 in August. So down considerably, and the markets were expecting 133.5. So the markets were expecting 133.5. We got 125.1. So not even close. And again, folks, this whole quote-unquote economic miracle, it's hanging by a thread on the U.S. consumer, the last pillar of hope. And let me tell you something. If we are clinging and basing our hope off of 300 million idiots who are over-leveraged, who are paying 20-30% on credit cards for stuff that they don't need, that they can't afford, that they're never going to use, look out below. That's all I got to tell you. Because there's no capital expenditures. Imports and exports are dwindling. We got this trade war going on. We have everything is just slowing down, period. The trade war just exacerbates these problems. So there's nothing. The only thing that is keeping this market up is debt, more currency creation that we are now in the midst of. Make no mistake about it, QE4 is coming if it's not already here. We talked about that the other day. The balance sheet of the Federal Reserve has already started to increase. So de facto, that's QE4. It's just a matter of time before they come out and make it official, which we have been talking about here for quite a while as well. So it's money printing. It's a consumer that's over-leveraged. And it's a government that has a $1 trillion deficit. And we have a president up there who's saying this is the greatest economy in the world. These things do not jive, but he will not take responsibility for anything negative that is going to come down the pike. And the Democrats just gave him a gift on a huge golden platter. To the markets, the S&P was down 25 points. The Dow lost 142 points. The NASDAQ gave back 119 points, a loss of 1.5%. The Russell 2000, the small cap index, gave back 25, also down 1.5%. The Dow Jones Transports gave back 0.5%, and the New York Stock Exchange gave down 0.7%. Oil also gave back a few percentage points on the day, predicated on slower growth and also supply. So this is now coming back to the dynamics of supply and demand, which we told you would happen unless there is some major geopolitical event. So oil has pulled back significantly today. WTI is trading at $56.80 a barrel. Brent, the international metric, is at $62.80 a barrel. Gold continued to rally today. It is now trading at $1,532 an ounce. Silver, slightly below yesterday's podcast at $18.53. In the midst of all of this chaos and these shenanigans, there was another flight to safety in the U.S. 10-year Treasury. It lost, the yield lost 4% and is now at 1.64%. 1.64% to a flight to safety. Will we continue with this mantra, the flight to safety again? Will we bid up U.S. Treasury prices and conversely the yields go down? We're going to have to wait and see. We have the VIX gaining 14.3% and is now at $17.05. And we said be on the lookout for that because once it gets to 15, below 15, which it has been, we said look out, this thing tends to spring back. And that's exactly what we're seeing here today. Will it continue tomorrow? Stay tuned. A couple updates on some other stories. We have that young lady who I mentioned yesterday, that Greta Thunberg. I believe I said yesterday she was from the Netherlands. Correction, she is from Sweden. Again, and I said this yesterday, I wasn't following this young lady closely because I really don't care. But she's in the news, and I had to make a little bit of fun about this because I don't take my marching orders from 16-year-olds. So I wasn't that focused on it, but I do want to correct the record. I said she was from the Netherlands. She's from Sweden. I also wasn't certain how she got over here. I knew she got here via boat. I didn't know if it was, you know, gas-powered sailboat. I assumed it was a sailboat, and it was. They're calling it a zero-emission sailboat. Wouldn't that just be a sailboat? I mean, the wind's powering you. What are you admitting? So I don't know why they have to call it a zero-emission, but if somebody knows the technology, correct me, because, you know, I'm not Prince Philip. I'm not Marco Polo. I don't navigate the world, so I don't know all of the technology. But I would assume if it's a sailboat, it's zero-emission. So what do you got to tell me it's a zero-emission sailboat for? I don't know, but tell me. We have the United Kingdom, the UK Supreme Court, coming out and claiming that Prime Minister Boris Johnson, his act to suspend Parliament was unlawful. It was unlawful. So again, the Brexit drama continues. I believe the Parliament is going to be opening up again this week, much sooner than was anticipated. However, I do believe that the Queen is still going to be giving her speech and her presentation in a few weeks. I'm happy about that because I want to see the Queen. I want to see her in her crown, in the robes. I want to see this circus. So I hope she continues with that. But this is another thing. This is another blowback here for Prime Minister Johnson of the United Kingdom. You have Jeremy Corbyn, the leader of the Labour Party, the opposition to the Prime Minister, saying this guy has to resign. He is calling for his resignation. You can't make this stuff up. And who knows what the guy's going to do? Prime Minister Johnson, that is. Because he has not won a single vote in Parliament. And now his actions to suspend Parliament were just overruled by the highest court in UK. So this guy is ineffective. He was not elected by the people. So what's he doing there? I hope he gets them out of there on Halloween. But there's a lot of political pressure stacking up against this guy as well. Who's going to survive? Stay tuned. And lastly, we have a little bit of other economic news. We have U.S. house price growth slows to a 7-year low. The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller 20-city home price index in the U.S. rose 2% year-on-year in July, missing market expectations of 2.2%. It was the smallest annual gain in house prices since August of 2012. Phoenix recorded the biggest increase in home prices, followed by Las Vegas and Charlotte, while the smallest gains were seen in San Francisco, New York, and Los Angeles. Prices in Seattle also continued to drop. Now, you have to recall, in the depths of the subprime crisis, Phoenix and Las Vegas were two of the hardest hit communities. So it's no surprise to continue to see them rebounding and having some of the largest increases several years later. However, when it comes to San Francisco, New York, and Los Angeles, things don't look as good. And this is exactly what we've been talking about here for months. This is going to be a top-down, bottom-up squeeze in the real estate market because that's where all your high-end real estate is. San Francisco, New York, Los Angeles, and Seattle continues as well. High-tech cities, high-finance cities, big celebrity cities, high prices starting to slow down. And I don't know if this is a sign of a bubble, but it does tend to have some historic correlation the largest residential building, the tallest residential building in the world, was just completed in New York City. And that typically coincides with a bubble and in the city in which it takes place. This happens with residential buildings, this happens with corporate buildings, or some hybrid thereof. Wherever the tallest building is, that's usually indicative of some sort of bubble that's about to burst. So that's the news we got here for today. It was quite eventful. We covered a lot here today, as we typically do, especially on these types of days. But the impeachment inquiry, what's next? Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.